Good evening. I'd like to call our meeting to order. I'm Mayor Winfield. We'll begin our meeting tonight of the June 15th Oro Valley Town Council regular and special session. Mr. Standish, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. All council members are present. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Stormwater Utility Commission will hold their next meeting on June 16th at 4 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The next Budget and Finance Commission regular session will be held on June 21st at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers. The June 28th Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled, and also the July 5th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting has been canceled. And then the next town council regular session is scheduled for July 6th at 6 p.m. right here in the council chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll go to council reports. Council Member Green has a report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have the pleasure and honor of serving on the Stormwater Utility Committee. And it's a little like the little engine that could. They're kind of chugging along all summer. And the result is they try to have us monsoon secure, and they've done it. I mean, at least as long as I've been on there, I have been really impressed with them. I just want to highlight a couple of the projects. You could see on the left, Vista del Oro Wash, and the top you can see what it was like before, and on the right you can see what it is now. If you look at the next slide here, Canyon Shadows Wash, the left it looks like a jungle, and on the right you can see that they've cleared it out. And by doing this, they really lessen the effects of the stormwater and really help keep us safe from erosion. So congratulations to them. Amy Ramsey is actually here. She's one of the principal folks, and she's going to be appearing tonight on the news. So be sure and look in at 9 o'clock or so at 10 o'clock, and you'll see Amy getting us ready for monsoon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Green. Are there other council reports this evening? Seeing none, we'll go to Ms. Jacobs, our town manager, with her report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. This evening, I just want to remind our community that we do have a 4th of July celebration this year, and that while we were not able to secure fireworks because of some supply chain issues, we have a very exciting laser show that will be at James D. Cree Park. The event will be starting at 6 o'clock that evening. We've got a band, a Tom Petty cover band, that will be playing all evening. So we invite the families to come down, plenty of food trucks, lots of things to do. Bring your chairs and your blankets and enjoy having a 4th of July in person this year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. For those this evening that would like to speak on an agenda item or during call to audience, please fill out a blue card located at the back of the room and hand it to the town clerk, Mr. Standish, to your right, my left. This evening I do have some call to the audience blue cards. So pursuant to the Arizona open meeting law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. So this evening, first call to audience is Ann Young. And if you would please state your name and whether you're a resident of Oro Valley, please.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. Yeah, my name is Ann Young. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I've been a resident of the town before it was a town. I have lived in the neighborhood since 1965. I have lived next door to the Church of the Nazarene since 1979. I am the senior member of the Coalition of Neighbors who are vehemently opposed to the rezoning request of the above-named church. My family and I have had no issue with the church all these years. We did not object when they built two huge new buildings to accommodate their growth and future growth. Now, the church wishes to build a 15-acre athletic complex in partnership with two other corporations. We, as the coalition, feel that we shouldn't have to gracefully accept 70-foot-tall light poles, 40-foot-tall buildings, two of them, one's a basketball court and the other one, I don't know what they want for, all the traffic that comes along with that, pollution, noise, and anything else that comes along with all the people that will be using these new facilities. We have wonderful facilities in our neighborhood, and we feel like we've really done our part. Thank you very much.
Vicki Terrace.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, and the council members, thank you for letting us speak.
Ms. Terrace, if you could speak into the microphone, please.
My name is Vicki Terrace, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. However, tonight I would like to speak for one of our neighbors. She is also a resident of Oro Valley. She lives at 531 West Calle Concordia, which is right across the street to the south of the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. She currently has two children under the age of two, so you can tell she's very busy, and she said it would be next to impossible for her to get out in the evening. So she has given me permission to read her statement. I am a stay-at-home mom of two children under the age of two. We absolutely love our home and the area we live in. However, the traffic has been greater than we expected when we originally purchased our home. We recently experienced a scary incident where an impatient driver was tired of waiting at the stop sign in front of our home, and therefore he drove through our driveway to dodge traffic. My one-year-old daughter and I were outside exploring rocks at the time, something we regularly do, and could have easily been hit had we been in the driveway instead of on the side of the driveway. It was scary, frustrating, and concerning, to say the least. I assume we would see more of that behavior if the church continues to grow. As a resident of this area and as a mother, I do not want that. I strongly encourage you not to continue with this rezone for the sake of the residents of this neighborhood. Thank you for your time.
Tim Terrace.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, Council people. My name is Tim Terrace. I'm an Oro Valley resident. I live at 9291 North Cali Buena Vista, directly across the street to the west from the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. Tonight I'm going to speak in perspective on where large items might fit. Choosing a random location, I'm going to use 500 West Concordia, which is the church property. On this one, R144 residentially zoned parcel, you can place 8 Boeing 747 aircraft, 6 St. Louis Gateway arches, 4 Saturn V moon rockets, 2 Empire State Buildings, or 1 Gerald R. Ford class nuclear aircraft carrier. Obviously, no resident of Oral Valley would ever consider having overly large items such as these that take up space, draw crowds, and make a lot of noise anywhere in our community, much less in a residential neighborhood. There is one item, however, that just won't fit, an unwanted sports complex shoehorned into an existing neighborhood, absolutely against the wishes of the longtime residents. Having the items that I just discussed might fit in the neighborhood and could be a novelty, but having one item that would not and absolutely should not be there would be a disaster for the families that live there and not for the ones that only visit on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Debbie Patrick.
Hello, Mayor Winfield and Vice Mayor Barrett, council members. My name is Debbie Carter Patrick, and I live at 9369 Calle Buena Vista. I am a lifelong resident of this north area. I graduated from the first graduating class of CDO, and we used to pick oranges and peaches at the property that I now live on. I went to school and graduated with the daughter of that residence. So I'm very long-term connection to this area. Riding horses and taking hikes and riding our bikes. This has always been a rural area and larger pieces of property and quiet. And so my heart's desire was to be retired on that property, which I now am. So we've lived there, and we have deed restrictions. You know, we have a certain amount of acreage that we have to maintain, and we abide by our restrictions, and we've paid our taxes. We are the tax base that supports and has caused Oro Valley to grow. I think that the church, when it started, petitioned the area, and I don't think there was a town at that time, but they were a small church on the corner, and the neighbors said fine. And then in the 2000s, they came back and said, we want to build bigger buildings, and the neighbors said fine. And I really see this as a betrayal of the trust that these neighbors have put in them, that they would maintain the integrity of the neighborhood. So now we have international corporations wanting to come in and combined with them and build these big structures and lights. And we now have to plan our lives around what's happening on that corner. If they're having an event, a holiday event, if they're having Sunday services, we go north to get to Oracle Road because that intersection will be completely congested. And you know, as the Vicky said, maybe even possibly dangerous. Now, we also have congestion from CDO. So this, like, you know, double quadruples the impact on our neighborhood. So as you can suppose, I'm really opposed to this rezoning. I am not opposed to the church or other churches, but I think they should build into the integrity of the neighborhood. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Craig Patrick.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, and Council, thank you for the opportunity to make my comments here. As you may suspect already, I live at 9369 North Calle Buena Vista. My wife went before me because she's got a lot more charm and far more articulate than I am.
If you could just state your name, please.
Yes, sir. Sorry. Craig Patrick. Sorry. No, I'm adamantly opposed to this. I'm a native Arizonan. I was born in 1949 in Casa Grande, Arizona, and have lived most of my life on the northwest side of Tucson, which used to be the big city when I was a kid. But having said that, I love this area because it was equestrian property in those days, and still is. You see a lot of equestrian activity in that area. But I love that area. That's why I invested in this area. After all those years, I thought, man, I love that. The last thing, and I won't try to repeat everything others have already said, but the last thing I would ever want to see is a commercial situation up there, or a big gym or sports arena or whatever. Now, if they want to put a horse arena in, that might be a different story. But I'm opposed to it because I think originally this area was meant for equestrian properties, and if you look at some of the property restrictions on the amount of property you can have, you can see it was designed. This area was designed with that in mind. Anyway, I'll try to be brief as I can. I don't want to repeat everything others have said, but I just wish you'd please reconsider this. In my experience in Arizona in the last 73 years between Pinal and Pima County, what I've observed is once you have to be real careful with rezoning, because once a person goes into an area with rezoning, you wake up the next morning and find out you're next door to a Circle K is an exaggeration, but a big commercial property as opposed to a rural area or an area like the one we're blessed to have. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
I have no other blue cards for call to audience. I'll close call to audience at this time. I overlooked earlier the order of the meeting. I would like to make a recommendation as it relates to the agenda this evening. I'd like to recommend that presentation 3 be moved to ahead of 1 and 2. Any objections from council? Seeing no objections, I'll make that one change to the order of the agenda. So we'll go to the presentations. Mr. Standish, presentation 3.
2022 Summer Transportation Art by Youth Presentation.
So Town Engineer, Public Works Director Paul Kiesler will introduce this item. Thank you, Mr. Kiesler.
Mr. Mayor, thank you so much, Vice Mayor and Council. We're really excited. We're really excited to bring our latest installment of Transportation Art by Youth. As you know, we get a stipend from PAG. We get $25,000 every year. We bank that up to a maximum of $75,000. And then we go ahead and we coordinate with SACA and the many artists you see standing or sitting here behind me. So with that, I want to introduce Ms. Kate Marquez from SACA.
Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Marquez.
Good evening. Good to see everyone once again. Mayor and Council and Vice Mayor, thank you for having us. I'm going to be brief. I'm going to introduce, this is now SACA's 20th year participating in this project, formerly as GOVAC. And we're really honored this year because we think it's going to be very different. It's already shaping up to be one of the best projects that we've ever been able to facilitate. So a little bit of history on the project so that you just have a reference point of the different installations that exist here currently in Oro Valley right now. The last project was about 4 years ago. We had to take a year off because of COVID. Was the project that you see now at the community center. 3 years prior to that was the infamous quail at the Narana town site, as well as the newly built roundabout many years ago now. I think that was a while ago. That particular project was has an equestrian tie-up and is a full mosaic project. And prior to that, First in Narana, I think, is this project that exists here in the lower right-hand corner. So we have a long history of employing artists in this project and students throughout the summer. And happy to bring that once again. So I'm going to invite up to present both Angie Hitt, who is our primary teaching artist, and Ignacio Garcia, which is our consulting and teaching muralist on this project.
Hello, I'm Angela Hitt, and I have the pleasure of working with all of these artists this summer on their summer transportation art by youth project. So first we would like to introduce each of them, and then they will also like to share some information with you on what they've been doing so far. Come on up.
All right. Hi, my name is Josiah Tucker. I graduated from Ironwood Ridge this past year.
Hi, my name is Emma Aros, and I'm at Ironwood Ridge this year.
Hello, my name is Shelby Fredrickson, and I'm going to be a senior at Ironwood Ridge High School.
Hello, my name is Grace Sun. I'm going to be a junior in Bayshore Valley.
Hello, my name is Isabel Wadley, and I graduated from Ironwood Ridge High School.
Hello, my name is Jacob Shaney, and I just graduated from Ironwood Ridge High School.
Hello, my name is Mackenzie Schneiderman, and I'm going to be a junior at Ironwood Ridge High School.
My name is Christian Jones, and I'm going into my senior year at Ironwood Ridge High School.
My name is Micah Carlson, and I'm going into my senior year at Ironwood Ridge.
And we have two that are out of town right now, so we have a total of 11 students this summer. So far, we've done quite a few things to introduce the children to the projects that have been done thus far. The first week that we got together, we got onto a bus and we toured all the murals downtown along with all the other youth projects in the area to brainstorm and start the creative process for this project. We also asked the community for feedback by doing that through social media and through an email link where people could take a survey and share with us what they love about their community and what they might like to see in future artworks. We have spent a lot of time discussing how to work together as a team, collect and share ideas, and how to bring that together into a design that we presented last Friday to the town. Students also keep a journal. They write in it every day, and they'll do a reflection at the end of the month. Okay, let me actually go back here. Would you like to come up? Our first person to speak on the marketing and communications. So, Micah?
So with all of our events and planning, everyone has different roles and tasks, such as social media managers, videographers, graphic design, photograph, event planning and ribbon cutting event, a community outreach, press and media outreach, and writing press releases, project journal keeping.
So all of the students have assigned roles that they selected for themselves so that they are continually engaged in all parts of the project. Isabel?
So along with the marketing and communications, we're also doing learning different transferable skills. And some of those roles fall into the artistic category, which involves being an illustrator, digital renderings, mosaic layouts, kiln work, artist supply managing, and designing. And all of these will help us throughout the project and even afterwards if we continue to be artists and start a career with that. Thank you.
Mackenzie?
My section is on the project management. One of the things Angie mentioned earlier is that all of us keep a weekly timesheet to keep track of our work hours. We have supplies and material management that we all go over together through organization or cleaning materials or material purchase. For site planning, we have already put out measurements for the site as well as installation and coordination. This is where we will be able to monitor progress when the project starts. We have student services that include lunch planning, doing icebreakers, and other team building activities. And the budgeting and receipts can be reviewed in the finance management.
Okay, now we're going to show you the project site design. Emma?
Hello. So for our project, we decided that this was a collaborative design between all of us, and we decided that we wanted to go from a night to day theme. We thought we didn't want to just put a sun in it, and so we decided to use a flower. The flower we decided to use is the desert rose, Arizona flower. And then we were looking at images of prickly pears to try and put it onto our piece so we could see how it looked. And we found one that where the thorns looked like stars. So we decided that that's what we wanted our night sky to be. And as you can see in the image, it goes from just a normally prickly pear into the blue night sky. And for, we knew we wanted to have an animal as the main piece, so we decided to use a Gila monster because they're not commonly seen in Arizona, but they are a native animal, and a lot of people from like other states or countries even, if they come to Arizona, they have no clue what that is. You go, oh, have you heard of a Gila monster? And they don't know what you're talking about. We would like to use our mural as a way for people to learn and to help them, like, see the animal. We also have scorpions in our piece for the nighttime. They're also a poisonous animal, so it's they'll be able to learn about that too. For the Gila monster, we're wanting to make it all out of mosaics, so the whole thing's going to be either these little orange half-circle tiles or ceramic pieces. We're also going to encourage people to go up and touch the lizard so that they can feel all the textures of its scale. The other part that's going to be mosaic is the center of the flower. While we were designing this, one of our students who is not here, Claire, painted this, and we used parts of it in the design process. Thank you.
Jacob?
So this is the northern wall across the street from the original wall, and we really wanted to do this wall as well to carry over the theme and make the area more cohesive and have it be a real experience when you drive or walk through that area. But we didn't want people to go over and cross the street and potentially get hurt, so we really simplified the design and only kept the background gradient and the prickly pears, just so people aren't going over to touch or look at anything. So, yeah, and then else. I think that's it.
Excellent. Shelby?
All right, so in our mural, there will be a lot of interactive qualities. Each of the students, all 11 of us, are designing our own little hidden image to put in the mural as a little scavenger hunt, interactive with kids or adults. We're also going to be using QR codes, mainly at the beginning of the mural, like where it's going to say our names and stuff, so they can scan it and see a text of all information and fun facts, as well as an audio that'll go with it, so you can look at it and see and listen to it at the same time. Also with the seating element, so we're putting a bench in the center of the flower sun, and behind it is going to be the mosaic, so it's going to be like, you can touch it again, and it'll be really nice for pictures and anybody who's driving or, like, walking by and that kind of stuff.
What will the audio be? I'm curious.
The audio will be the same as the text, but like the fun facts and interesting things like about the Gila monster and scorpions, especially for people that don't live here and don't know about them, maybe some history. Yeah.
And will it be your voices? Or?
Yeah, it will
yeah,
be.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Josiah?
All right, and now we'd just like to give you guys the opportunity to ask us any questions you may have about this project and our plans.
Sounds like I jumped the gun, Josiah.
It's all right. It's all right. I know.
Council, questions for these wonderful young people? Council Member Jones Ivy?
I love it. Yeah, I'm very impressed. I'm just inspired by your enthusiasm, the way that you came up, the creativity of coming up with the night and day, and particularly the, instead of having the sun, what is that blossom called again?
Desert Rose.
The Desert Rose. Congratulations. I can't wait to interact with this piece.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. I also love it. Great job, you guys. Great job on your presentation. Great job with the art. I love the Gila monster especially. I have seen a couple of them here in Arizona, and it's always so exciting, and it's neat how it works perfectly with that gradient. So I think that was very clever of you to go from, to utilize that in the gradient, because you can almost have the animal be a part of it. So I really look forward to it, and I want to thank you guys for everything you've been doing. It looks great.
Other Council Member Nicholson.
I just want to say I thought you guys did a great job. You obviously have a great teacher, Angie. So,
oh,
and I like the scorpions. The glow-in-the-dark scorpions reminds me when I was hunting scorpions on the wall when my babies or my wife had little babies. But yeah, it looks really cool. I like the color of the scorpion.
Council Member Green.
I guess I'm showing my age, but we've come a long way from climbing water towers and writing the school name on it to putting some real artwork out there, and my congratulations to all of you. This is really terrific. Good job.
Councilmember Bowen.
I want to thank you all. You've really added something to our town, and we really appreciate it. I just have a question. I'm not artistically inclined. How many different artists can work on a mural like that at one time?
You know, so there will be 13 of us with the teaching artists and the 11 students, and I would say that that is an excellent number. This is a large two-wall mural with a very, very large mosaic element. So I don't know that I would go beyond that number, because at some point it can be too many people, but I think that we've kind of divided the project up enough over 2 months that everybody will have a really significant part in the piece.
Well, thank you so much for the presentation tonight. We look forward to the completion of this project. Loved the process. The presentation was wonderful. Thank you, young men
thank
and young
you.
Women.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, if I may add, this will be the look of the new entrance into the new park. So this is on Tangerine, right at north side of north and south side of Tangerine, outside of Tangerine Terrace, which is the main drive into the new park. So this is our welcoming into the park. So that's why we're so excited about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Okay, yeah. You can join us for the rest of the evening, or you may be excused. Thanks again, everyone. We'll go to presentation one.
Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 21-22 financial update through April 2022.
And our Chief Financial Officer, Dave Gephardt, will present this item. Mr. Gephardt.
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Good to see you again. Tonight I'm going to be presenting our monthly financial update through April 2022. We'll be covering our general fund, highway fund, and community center fund. With that, I'll jump right in the general fund. I know I sound like a broken record, but sales taxes continue to outperform expectations and budget really across all categories. Several categories, including construction sales tax, bed tax, and restaurant and bar tax collections, have already exceeded last fiscal year's total collections, and we still have 2 months left this fiscal year. Certainly, inflation is helping here, as is pent-up demand from COVID as people are getting out and traveling more. Overall, sales tax collections are at $20.7 million, or 98% of budget, and we are anticipating to end the year at $26 million, or 23% over budget. Likewise, state shared revenues are performing well. Through April, $12.25 million has been received, representing 89.2% of budget. We expect this category to land at $14.27 million at year-end, or 4% over budget, which basically reflects our unbudgeted Smart and Safe fund collections. Charges for services receipts are totaling $2.18 million through April, or 91% of budget. We expect this category to end the year at $2.5 million, or 5% over budget, due to strong recovery in the town's recreation revenues from last year. Licenses and permit revenues are at $2.1 million through April, or 15.5% over budget. As has been mentioned in prior reports, strong commercial permitting is impacting this category this year, but we are also now seeing SFR permitting pick up as the year has progressed. We have increased our year-end estimate from last month's report from $2.2 million to $2.4 million, or 29% over budget. Grant collections total $3.6 million through April, or almost 60% of budget. We expect to end the year at $6.1 million, which is pretty much on budget for this category. All other revenues are at about $1.5 million through April, or 78% of budget, and we expect these sources also to land on budget by year end. In total, the town has collected $42.4 million, or 90% of budget, and expects to end the year at $53.27 million in collections, which is 13% over budget. Turning to general fund expenditures, our personnel actuals are at $23.65 million through April, or about 77% of budget. We're expecting some savings by fiscal year end due to turnover and vacancies, and we're looking to come in at about $29.5 million, or 96% of budget. O&M is trending pretty much on budget. We are at $18.26 million in actuals, which is about 83% of budget. The $10 million PSPRS payment made in July is impacting this category, as we've mentioned in prior reports, and we're expecting to end the year at about $22.1 million in expenditures, which is slightly over budget due to inflation. In capital, the large variance you see there for the year-end estimate is our westward look improvements. Some of that is going to be carried over into next fiscal year. That's really driving most of the variance for capital. And then there's transfers out, where we budgeted both the principal and interest payment. Again, this has been mentioned in prior reports on the PSPRS pension obligation bond, but only an interest payment was due this fiscal year, and that's generating the expected $1.2 million in savings that you see there at year end. In total, we've spent $46.7 million, which is about 76% of budget, and we are expecting to end the year at about $58.6 million, and that's $2.7 million, or 4% below budget. Here's the chart for the general fund. Revenues of $42.4 million compared to $41.3 million last fiscal year through April. On the expenditure side, we see actuals of $46.7 million compared to $33.4 million last fiscal year, due primarily to the $10 million PSPRS reserve payment. We budgeted a deficit or planned use of fund balance of $14.2 million, and we're now expecting to only use about $5.9 million of fund balance, and that would land us at about $26.5 million in estimated ending fund balance at year end, which is about 49% of budgeted expenditures. That would exceed Council's 25% policy by about $13 million. Moving on to the Highway Fund, I don't think there's a whole lot that's changed from March. We had mentioned that our HERF revenues are trending quite well. You can see that through April, the HERF dollars are already at about $3.23 million, or 89% of budget. we are expecting to come in at about $3.9 million for those revenues, and that's really driving the overall variance for the fund. We're expecting to land total for the fund at $3.9 million for total revenues, and that's about $268,000 or 7% over budget. For the expenditures in the highway fund and personnel, we spent $950,000 or about 79% of budget. We expect to see just a smidge of savings at year end in this category. For O&M, we're expecting this category to come in on budget. Through April, we had spent $429,000 or 69.5% of budget. In capital as well, we're expecting to land on budget. We had our Lambert CIP project complete, as well as most of our pavement preservation projects. So that category is sitting at about $2 million in expenditures, which is 89% of budget. In total, we spent about $3.39 million, or 83% of budget, and we're expecting to come in, again, just a smidge under budget due to some of those slight personnel savings. Jumping to the chart for the highway fund, we have actual revenues of $3.3 million compared to $3.1 million last fiscal year. Expenditures through April at $3.4 million compared to $2.5 million last fiscal year. And again, that's explainable due to when the capital is hitting in that fund, since it's really a capital-intensive fund. As a reminder, we did plan to use $443,000 of fund balance this fiscal year, but now expect to only dip into fund balance by about $154,000, and that would bring our estimated ending fund balance for the fund to about $1.1 million. Last, we'll cover our community center fund. Things continue to look very positive, and we are not expecting any subsidy to golf operations for this fund. We'll go ahead and dive into the details here. Contracted operating revenues are at $4.15 million or 14.5% over budget. They're expected to come in at about $4.47 million for the year, which is about $852,000 or 24% over budget. Town operating revenues are already 57% over budget, with about $1.09 million in collections. We're expecting to end the year at $1.21 million, which is $511,000 or 73% over budget. So really strong recovery in the town operating revenues there. For our half-cent sales tax, we've collected about $2.9 million or 99.2% of budget. This is impacting other revenues, which is at $3.11 million or 101% of budget through April. We expect to end up with $3.6 million at year-end, which is about $550,000 or 18% over budget for other revenues. So that includes our half-cent sales tax, our HOA contributions, and then some smaller categories like interest income and that sort of thing. In total for this community center fund, we've collected $8.4 million or 113% of budget, and expect to end up with a little over $9.3 million in collections, exceeding budget by $1.9 million, or about 26%. Moving on to expenditures in the Community Center Fund, contracted operating expenditures are at $3.8 million through April, or 81% of budget. We're expecting to see some personnel and O&M savings coming in under budget by about $191,000 or 4% for the year. Town operating expenditures, we're seeing those trends pretty much on budget. Through April, we had spent about $843,000 or 78% of budget. We're expecting to land on budget for that category. And then capital as well is trending as expected. Through April, we had spent approximately $93,000 or 70% of budget. And we're expecting to land on budget by year-end for that category. Transfers out reflect savings from only needing to make an interest payment this fiscal year on a $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, despite both principal and interest being budgeted. Oops. So in total for the Community Center Fund, we've spent about $4.9 million in expenditures through April, or 63% of budget. And we expect to end the year spending about $6.1 million, which is $1.71 million or 22% under budget, primarily due to transfers out savings.
Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenues improved dramatically over last fiscal year, $8.4 million versus $6.3 million. Through April, expenditures are up slightly, $4.9 million versus $4.5 million compared to last year. We did plan to use $400,000 of fund balance this year, but with the positive revenue collections, we're now expecting to end the year with a $3.2 million surplus and an estimated ending fund balance of $5.9 million. That concludes my monthly financial presentation for you this evening, Mr. Mayor, and I'm available for any questions that you have. Thank you, Mr. Gephardt.
Questions from council? Councilmember Nicholson?
With the recession is projected with the Fed increasing the rate by 0.75%, obviously we may not know how bad that is, but when would we look at adjusting our projections with a possible recession, or when does that take place, I guess?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, excellent question. So as you're well aware, Council, we are doing our five-year forecast. That's next on the agenda, actually. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting because, we stay pretty nimble here at the town. And in terms of when we start to see things shift a little bit, number one, we stay very conservative. But when we start to see things shift, then we also adapt and shift with what's going on in the market. So I think what you'll find going all the way back to the Great Recession, I know I wasn't here, but a number of staff were, including Ms. Gomez. I think what you'll find is that was a historic recession by all accounts, and the town actually fared very well through that recession. Yeah, there were some impacts, but not as drastic or severe as some had expected. And if you look at the town, the demographic, you look at the types of businesses that the town has. I don't want to say we're recession-proof, but you look at the types of businesses that are generating sales tax for the town. We don't have like an auto mall or things of that nature that could be really impactful to town revenues. I think just even more recently, if you look back to the COVID issue a couple of years ago, we did see bed tax revenues kind of drop off a cliff, and we saw restaurant and bar collections pretty severely impacted, of course, due to that issue. But then they've rebounded. And so with that said, it's going to be interesting. I would kind of expect those two categories in a recessionary environment, to also kind of be impacted. And then, of course, looking at the town's charges for services, discretionary type charges that the town charges to its residents for recreational type items and so forth, community center and so forth, I would expect that we would see we'll see it in the forecast in the next item, but really diminished growth in those areas as well, if there's any growth at all, and potentially some decline. So I think that's, long story short, that would be my best answer. I don't think we have a lot of high-end retail here in the town. Most of it is generally staple type items, and I think we're going to continue to see people out buying stuff, to meet their needs. And so I don't anticipate significant impacts from a recession, but we will certainly be aware of it and play that by ear as it comes.
Thank you. Other questions? Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, Dave. Could you open up attachment E, which is the sales tax attachment? Attachment E. Regarding construction sales tax for the first 4 months of 2022 versus the first 4 months of 2021, I note that we've had a significant increase. It's almost twice as much. And for the year, we're already surpassing 2021 for 2022. Mm-hmm. Question for you is there any way that we can see or forecast what was happening. Now, I haven't noticed any previous forecasts in which we thought sales tax might really go up in 2022.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, that's another good question. So we can dig into the details there. Staff has the ability to actually drive in at a very granular level into the Department of Revenue site, and not all staff, it's very limited, but a couple of us have the ability to actually dig into the details and parse that out. What I can tell you is construction sales tax is a category that is very volatile. It's really dependent upon what projects are transpiring in the town, or construction is going on in the town, and the contractors obviously remitting the tax due to those projects. So it's kind of a difficult one to project accurately, to forecast accurately, because it is really dependent upon the timing of projects and when they move forward. I hope that answers your question, but if not, I'll take another stab at it.
And in regarding the total amount of the half-cent sales tax for the 21-22 fiscal year, I just wanted to confirm, is that going to be about $3.6 million?
Yes, Councilmember Bowen, that is correct. That's where we anticipate to end the fiscal year, is about $3.6 million for the half cent.
And our forecast was $2.9 million?
Correct.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Other questions from Council? Councilmember Solomon?
Yes, David. On the construction sales tax, I don't think a lot of people realize that's paid on every construction project. If you put a pool into your backyard, you're paying the increased construction sales tax. If you do a remodel to your home and so forth, do we have any insight as to what percentage of that component is new construction versus remodel and home improvements?
Council Member Solomon, Mr. Mayor, members of council, we really don't have insight into remodel versus new construction. I think we potentially certainly could look at the commercial versus single family residential construction and look at that breakout. But in terms of looking at a remodel in a versus a new construction, a single family residential, probably not. I don't think I don't know that there's a way for us to get that granular.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Gephardt. We appreciate your presentation this evening. Mr. Standish, we'll go to the next presentation.
Presentation and possible discussion regarding the town's five-year financial forecast through fiscal year 2027-28.
All right, Mr. Gephardt will present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You're going to see a lot of me tonight, and I'll probably use up all my words for the week just this evening, so I apologize to my wife. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm pleased to be presenting our five-year financial forecast this evening. Before I begin, I'd like to kind of set the stage of where we've been over the past year. This last year, some significant events have transpired, including annexation of the Westward Look Resort, an acquisition of the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve. I mentioned those two specifically because neither was included in last year's five-year financial forecast, and yet both will have an ongoing financial impact to the town moving forward. Further, I don't know that anyone could have anticipated the rise in fuel and energy prices that we've experienced over the last year. I mention all of this to hopefully provide some context that what is before you this evening is going to be incorrect. However, it is based on the best and yet limited information that we have available today. I'd also like to state that the goal of any forecast is to neither be too optimistic nor too pessimistic about the future, and we've attempted to strike that balance with the forecast. This forecast is really an attempt to paint a realistic picture of the future and allow you to think strategically about future opportunities for the town and the related financial impacts. So just an overview of what we'll be covering this evening. Our forecast includes the Town General Fund, the Highway Fund, the Capital Fund, and the Community Center Fund. Past forecasts have not included the Capital Fund, but we felt it was relevant information given some of the large ongoing capital projects, as well as the interplay between the fund and the Community Center Fund and the General Fund. As a reminder, this is a snapshot based upon current known information, so items such as what happens to the Oro Valley Marketplace or future potential annexations are not included in the analysis. Further, no proposed future legislative proposals that could impact town revenues or expenditures are included. The forecast serves as a planning document for future budgets and should be viewed as interconnected with our goals and strategies of the town's strategic plan. Some of the sources we rely on in preparing the forecast include the University of Arizona Eller College Economics and Business Research Center, the Arizona Department of Revenue for state sales tax, for state revenue sharing forecasts, I should say, as well as general state economic performance, the state's Legislative Budget Committee, and the Arizona Department of Transportation for HERF or highway user forecasts, and then the knowledge and expertise and professional judgment of town staff in viewing historical trends and utilizing that data to feed the projections. We'll start off with our general fund and some of the revenue assumptions we utilized in developing the forecast. We assumed continued economic recovery with no major economic downturns. Now, I'm aware that this assumption is currently being debated nationally as a number of economists are projecting either a recession or a fairly major recession in the next year or two due to high inflation, and we're experiencing high inflation we're experiencing and expected future actions of the Fed to tame inflation. And, of course, we all saw that the Fed increased their federal funds rate 0.75% even today. This is certainly something we can and will update if necessary moving forward if we see the economy trending downward. With that said, we are anticipating fairly modest growth in most local sales tax categories, certainly much less than inflation over the five-year period. We've worked with our planning department to estimate single-family residential permits over the 5 years, especially in years 4 and 5 in the forecast. Our projected SFR permits really drop off due to a lack of available land in the town. And on the commercial side, we have not made any significant assumptions regarding new commercial growth, but rather have assumed more of a status quo or historical pattern of development activity. For state shared revenue, we're expecting a one-time bump in fiscal year 23 due to the extension of the income tax filing in 2020. For fiscal year 24, we further expect to see an increase due to the state changing its allocation percentage from 15% to 18%. After that, we expect the impacts of the income tax reduction and cap of 2.5% to impact the out years of the forecast. Here's the table for the revenues for the general fund. You can see the taxes growing pretty healthy in fiscal years 24 and 25, and then tapering that growth in years 26 through 28. In the state shared revenue category, you see the impacts of the timing difference in fiscal year 24, with, again, years beyond that really reflecting a much more modest and conservative growth pattern. The timing difference is also why you see a slight reduction in fiscal year 25. Charges for services, you can see those, again, increasing more in fiscal year 24 with the growth tapering in the out years of the forecast. Licenses and permits, those are tied to our single-family residential permit projections provided by CED, as well as conservative levels of commercial permitting. Intergovernmental is a category that was hit pretty hard due to COVID. As you may recall, the main revenue source for that category is RTA reimbursements for transit as part of our intergovernmental agreement. And so we're expecting it to bounce back next fiscal year to full recovery and to pre-COVID amounts, and then very nominal growth thereafter. For grants, we're expecting a pretty large drop next fiscal year and then thereafter, as we're not expecting any future federal stimulus packages in the forecast. What you see reflected are mostly reimbursement police department grants for that category. And then some of the smaller categories, miscellaneous includes in lieu sales tax we collect. In fines, we don't see a whole lot of growth in fines, so we just have a conservative level with projected population growth reflected there. Interest income, while we do expect better returns in our portfolio with the rise in interest rates, the town utilizes a pooled cash approach And so for the general fund specifically, the increased yields will be offset by lower cash balances in the fund due to budgeted transfers to the capital fund. Moving on to the expenditure side of things for the general fund and the assumptions, we have loaded in merit and step increases at 4.25% in all years of the forecast, as well as very modest capacity for new personnel. We've assumed normal historical increases related to benefits like healthcare costs, ASRS, and workers' comp. We've kept the elevated PSPRS contributions until fiscal year 25, where a 30% decrease is included. We feel this is actually conservative, as the decrease could be as high as 60% should the town reach 110% funded status. Certainly the town's certainly the plan's investment performance over the next couple of years will be impactful here. O&M includes current service levels maintained with elevated inflation, especially as it relates to fuel and utilities. The transfers include those elements to pay the debt service on the town pension obligation bonds, as well as transfers to the capital fund in accordance with town financial policies. Finally, the forecast does preserve the town council's 25% fund balance policy. Here's the table for the expenditures. For personnel, you see the growth there is tied to the assumptions I just mentioned. Operations and maintenance, you see a drop from fiscal year 22 estimated to fiscal year 23 tentative due to the $10 million PSPRS payment. Thereafter in the forecast, elevated inflation is reflected, as well as increases related to the completion of the new Naranja Park amenities. Capital outlay is tied to any ongoing capital expenditures as well as any CIP projects in the general fund. And then the transfers out, as mentioned, includes the PSPRS debt service, as well as capital fund transfers in accordance with town financial policies. You can see at the bottom the planned addition to or use of fund balance. And then the projected ending fund balance is where we've met our 25% ending fund balance reserve policy throughout the forecast. Here's the chart for the general fund. You can see the planned use of fund balance for next fiscal year. But thereafter, a very balanced forecast where resources are virtually even with requirements, with an ending fund balance between $12 and $13 million. Moving on to the highway fund, some of the revenue assumptions there are our forecast assumes moderate growth in gas tax revenues. We do pull those forecasts from the Arizona Department of Transportation. Our other revenue sources in that fund are pretty minimal, and so they just assume modest and incremental growth, such as interest income and other permit revenues. Transfers in are necessary to keep this fund whole for the forecast or in the forecast period due to some of the capital needs moving forward. So you see transfers from the capital fund to augment the fund in years 24 through 27. Here's the table for revenues in the highway fund. You see the state shared revenues. That's our gas tax revenues. Licenses and permits, those are road permits that really don't grow a whole lot from year to year. Transfers, as mentioned, they reflect what are necessary to keep the fund solvent and accomplish necessary capital improvements for the fund over the forecast period. So our assumptions for expenditures in the highway fund, we've assumed the same personnel and O&M assumptions as the general fund, and that includes merit increases, benefit increases, as well as elevated O&M inflation. We've projected our pavement preservation to be between $1.9 million and $2.4 million per year in the forecast over the five-year period, and the capital outlay forecast reflects road improvements included in the town CIP schedule. So here's the table for highway fund expenditures. Personnel and O&M are reflected with similar assumptions to that applied in the general fund. The capital outlay ties to our 10-year CIP schedule, and you can see it's pretty heavy in fiscal years 25 through 27, necessitating the transfers discussed earlier. And then you can see the surplus or deficit expected in the fund, and then the ending fund balance there, which remains stable in the fund throughout the forecast period. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Again, you can see a sizable increase in capital in fiscal years 25 through 27. And you can see the revenues and expenditures cross paths pretty much every year, with the ending fund balance remaining stable again throughout the five-year forecast period. Moving on to the capital fund, resources reflected include transfers from the general fund and the community center fund, vehicle reserves for fleet replacements, and bond proceeds. We've assumed a nominal 1 to 2% growth for miscellaneous revenues, including sales of assets and insurance recoveries over the forecast. The general fund transfer reflects 5% of sales tax, 5% of sales tax as well as excess fund balances over the 25% reserve policy. And the community center fund transfer is reflected in fiscal year 23 for golf course irrigation, bringing that fund, the community center fund's estimated fund balance down to $1 million. Here's the table for the capital fund resources in fiscal years 24 through 28. The general fund transfers range between $4.2 million to $4.65 million. Those sources over that same time frame range between $5.38 million and $5.83 million. Total resources over that same time frame for the fund range between $5.38 million and $5.83 million. Moving on to expenditures in the capital fund, the fund reflects two temporary project managers through fiscal year 24, and then down to one through fiscal year 26. Capital outlay reflects the projects approved in the town 10-year CIP, and does not include any proposed include a proposed new police station, as funding has yet to be identified for that project. New vehicle purchases are included, with one additional patrol vehicle and two other town vehicles assumed on an annual basis. Vehicle costs are assumed to increase between 5 to 6% per annum over the forecast. And finally, transfers out to the highway fund is included to keep that fund healthy, as previously mentioned. Here's the chart for the capital fund. It shows a spike in expenditures this fiscal year, with decreasing outflows thereafter until fiscal year 27, where things kind of tick up again a little bit. Again, this is just a forecast, so actual timing of projects and their associated progress will be impactful here moving forward. On the resource side, we see on the resource side, we see significant declines through fiscal year 24, with things stabilizing through the following years. Similarly, fund balance decreases significantly through fiscal year 25, as the $25 million parks bond issuance is spent, and then things stabilize through the remaining 3 years. Finally, we'll cover the Community Center Fund. Some of the significant assumptions for the Community Center Fund revenues include that the local sales tax figures follow the same growth model as that utilized in the general fund forecast. With this being the half-cent sales tax, we don't see the bed tax or construction sales tax in here, but this would be pretty much primarily retail and online sales included. We assumed 18 holes for 6 months of the year in both fiscal years 23 and 24 due to the irrigation project. And beyond that, we assumed play levels consistent with fiscal years 21 and 22. And then we assumed 1% growth in town operated parks and rec revenues. And we assumed that HOA contributions would cease after fiscal year 25 due to the expiration of those agreements. Here's the table for the Community Center Fund revenues. The taxes there, it shows sustainable increases throughout the forecast. Charges for services, those are our golf contractor revenues and our town operating revenues as well. And we show pretty nominal growth due to the golf irrigation project through fiscal year 25, with a significant increase in fiscal year 26. That's when we expect the irrigation project to no longer be impactful to revenues. Fiscal years 27 and 28, again, show very nominal growth from the fiscal year 26 figures, and then miscellaneous, we see the HOA, the impact the HOA agreements rolling off has in fiscal year 26. So that's that decline there you see in miscellaneous. On the expenditure assumptions, again, we're utilizing similar assumptions as those utilized in the general fund for personnel and O&M. So merit and benefit increases are included in the forecast. We do assume a continued use and play of the Push 9 course throughout the forecast. Our capital outlay reflects our 10-year CIP schedule, and we've included $100,000 annually for the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve maintenance. We've also included between $100,000 and $250,000 per year in building improvements and minor assets over the five-year, over the forecast period. Our transfers include debt service payments on our $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, as well as our energy efficiency bonds. We've also included a transfer to the capital fund in fiscal year 23 to fund the golf course irrigation project per council direction to reduce the fund's fund balance down to $1 million, which was directed to staff at our last council meeting. Here's the table for the expenditures for the community center fund. You can see personnel there showing steady growth, just tied to the merit increases and benefit increases. Operations and maintenance, likewise, showing steady growth tied to inflation. Capital outlay in the fund ties to our 10-year CIP. And then the transfers out, you see that is for the debt service on the Parks and Rec bonds and our energy efficiency bonds. And then finally, you see the surplus or deficit projected in the fund. The fund is stable over the forecast period, but beyond that, we would need to identify a specific funding source for larger facility improvements at the community center. But over the forecast period, the 5 years, we feel like we're safe there. So here's the chart for the community center fund. It shows pretty stable revenues with a slight decline in fiscal year 23 with modest growth thereafter. On the expenditure side, we see a spike in fiscal year 23 due to the golf irrigation project transfer to the capital fund, with declines through fiscal year 25 where things start to tick up. Overall, the fund balance is drawn down but remains positive throughout the forecast. With that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. We'll open it to council. Councilmember Nicholson, followed by Councilmember Green.
Mr. Gephardt, what have we seen as far as the changes in bond rates? What are they currently?
Oh, thank you.
Large town projects.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, bond rates are basically roughly twice what they were a year ago, actually less than a year ago, when we issued our Parks and Recreation bonds, when we issued our PSPRS pension obligation bonds. As you'll recall, our PSPRS bonds came in at 2.39%. That was a taxable rate. Our Parks and Recreation bonds came in, and these are all in rates, so they include all fees and charges, et cetera, came in at 2.31%, which was a tax-exempt rate. Basically, what we're seeing there is rates are over 4%, close to 4.5%, and rising. So, and that's really due to the Treasury, because all of these municipal offerings are based upon the Treasury, which is the risk-free rate of return and the most safe debt instrument that you can buy, because the federal government has never defaulted on their debt instruments. So they're all really based upon that, and certainly your credit rating is impactful as well. The town's credit rating is AA+, which is very, very strong, just shy of AAA. So that's basically what we're seeing right now in the markets. We've seen a significant increase in debt issuance rates, and there's no way we could touch the rate of return that we've received on our past two issuances.
And one more question. Start of the recession, never heard a lot about the car dealerships are having a harder time already starting to sell cars and getting some coming back to them. Are we looking at possibly waiting at all, maybe 6 months to see where that happens, to do large car purchases of like $1 million, et cetera? Or no, just doing it right?
You know, Council Member Nicholson, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I think as it relates to new car purchases, if that's what your question is regarding, I don't know that we necessarily want to wait. I think we're still seeing supply chain issues being impactful there. If if that, those kind of resolve themselves, then I could see that possibly being to the town's benefit. So that's something that we may take a look at. But at this point, I think it might be a little bit too early to delay. If we wait too long, then the impact there is that we're carrying those. Number one, we don't have those vehicles available for use, so that could impact service levels and our repair costs for existing vehicles and town fleet. But then also, you would see the impact of having to roll those that capacity over into future budgets. You know, we're still seeing pretty long wait times and lag times between the order, order of those vehicles and when they actually come into the fleet for the town. So I think at this point, my recommendation would be to continue on, keep placing orders and try to get those vehicles in our fleet as quickly as possible.
And I assume we generally pay cash when we don't finance them, correct?
Councilmember Nicholson, Mayor, members of council, that's correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Green.
Thank you for a really thorough and excellent presentation. There was one piece I didn't understand. Early on in your slides, in 24-25, you had a drop in state shared revenues. What would you attribute that to, and am I reading that correctly?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Green, I'll flip back there just so the public has a visual on that. That's not the right chart. It's this one, actually. There we go. Yeah, so basically what's happening there is just a timing difference between the fiscal years, between 24 and 25. In 24, again, these state shared revenues, especially as it relates to the income tax, they're on a two-year lag or a delay. And so we had the extension of the filing period due to COVID, I believe, until July 15th, which then pushed some of those revenues into the following fiscal year. But then that also impacts the year into the 24 fiscal year. But then that also impacts 25 because it has an offsetting impact in fiscal year.
Okay, so the next year is going to drop.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Barrett and Councilmember Jones Ivey.
Thank you for that presentation and that all the work and analysis that I know went into that. I do have a question about the transfer from the Community Center Fund. In the budget, we were projecting that the Community Center Fund balance was going to end up somewhere around 5.6. And then in your most recent financials, you mentioned that it would be 5.9. Is the remainder of that also going to be transferred to bring that fund balance? Because it looked like the transfer was only just over $2 million. It seems to me it should be $2.3 million. I'm just wondering if you can address that.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council, that's a good question. I thought that question might come up. And that's a good catch. We're dealing with projections here and forecasts. As it relates to the transfers, they're not included in the overall spending authority or limitation of the town. They kind of sit on their own because it's not considered an expenditure. It's considered an other financing use. It's basically moving money from one fund to another fund. So as it relates to that transfer, staff has received direction from council. Despite what the budget says, despite what the forecast says, we have the direction to make the transfer and get that down to $1 million in the Community Center Fund. That's what the direction is. That's what will happen in actuality, despite, again, what the budget or what the forecast says. These are estimates, based upon information that, when we're putting together the budget and whatever, and obviously that kind of keeps getting updated as more information as we move along through the fiscal year. So it's not perfect, the budget or the forecast, we know that, but the direction has been made clear and that will happen next fiscal year.
Okay, so as you get updated numbers, you'll be following those updated numbers. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, just to clarify, so we don't know where we're going to end up with our ending fund balance until the auditors come out, perform their procedures, we start drafting financial statements. And that's where we kind of start landing on an ending fund balance. So typically that's around end of September or early October where we're starting to draft financial statements, our ACFR. And so we would probably wait until that period of time before the transfer is made, because that's where we're that's where we really have a high degree of confidence. Our auditor is going to issue their opinion and so forth, and we kind of land on a final ending fund balance. So that's really going to be the primary driver, despite what the budget says, despite what any forecast says. And we just simply don't know, because we haven't completed this fiscal year yet.
That makes sense. Thank you. And thank you for addressing the interest rates. It sounds like, so the interest rate for the Parks bond was, what, 2.31, you said? Okay, and that doesn't change as interest rates change or go up, does it?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, Members of Council, that's a fixed rate over the entire 20-year repayment term of the bond. That includes the entire 20-year period. So that's the average of all the rates, because, the rates can vary. They typically get, as you move out longer in the repayment period, years 10 through 15, 20, they go up a little bit. Very early on in the repayment period, they're very, very minimal, 0.2%, 0.25%, whatever, in the very near term of the repayment period. So, and that's just that's kind of a normal yield curve that you see on debt repayment. The longer you go out, the more you get, the more the bondholders expect as a return on their investment. And so, that's a net composite of the entire repayment term of the bond.
Okay, so it is 2.3% locked in.
2.31% locked in, fixed, yes.
Okay, thank you. And then about the planned use of fund balance in the next couple of years, that's on that slide that has the lines. Is that primarily due to the utilization or spending of that Parks and Recreation bond, which is now that money is in the fund balance, and then we would be spending it over the next couple of years?
So as a clarification, I want to make sure I get on the right slide, and I'm tracking with you, Vice Mayor, Mr. Mayor. Are you speaking to the capital fund or the community center fund?
Let's see, which one? This one, yeah.
Capital fund.
Yeah, okay. The capital fund. Thank you.
Yeah, so basically what you see here is you see the uses really kind of spike up due to the Naranja Park and then also the Gulf Irrigation Project. Those are really kind of the primary drivers there in the tentative budget, and then dropping back down in fiscal years 24 as those projects really kind of start winding down, and then kind of getting back to more of a normal spending pattern for fiscal years 26 through 28. So I hope that answers your question, but if not, I'll take another stab at it.
Yes, but that fund balance exists because of the bond issuance, isn't that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, sorry. Where you see the fund balance really elevated is primarily due to the $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance. And then that is being drawn down, again, as those projects progress, because we're spending that money on the Naranja Park, the multi-use trail paths, and that type of thing that's been approved by council.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Thank you very much. Dave, I'm really concerned about the potential recession that they say might be coming. And so given this is a forecast, what I'd like to know is what indicators would have to change in our present economy for this forecast to change and for you to readjust it?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones-Ivey, another good question. We would want to see really some strong degradation or declines in our sales tax revenues. And then obviously that juxtaposed to really continued increased elevated inflation impacting our utilities, our town operating costs, our fuel costs, and so forth. That could place us kind of in a deficit situation, which we would not want to sustain for very long, and that would cause significant action on the part of town staff to try to get that corrected so that we were again balanced from a from an actual and also budget standpoint moving forward, that we were sustainable, that we were not running deficits year over year and dipping in, and especially going beneath our 25% fund balance policy. That's kind of the target there. So
thank you very much.
Councilmember Solomon.
Thanks. It is a great presentation. I've got a basic question for you. Are HERF funds or highway revenue funds, are they based mainly off of the gasoline sales tax?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, yes, that's correct.
And am I correct in this? The tax is a tax per gallon. It's not a percentage amount.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, that is also correct, yes.
Okay, so with gas now regular being close to $5 and diesel being close to $6, I know people are doing everything they can to cut down on their gasoline usage, which would seem to imply that we could be looking at a significant drop in our HERF funds. And what's concerning is back in 2011 and 2012, I mean, Mr. Kiesler was here, I believe, or he was a young baby then, I don't recall which. We started to get in some real difficulty coming up with the money for our road maintenance and trying to decide whether we could spend the needed $1.25 million a year at that time, or could we cut it down to $750,000 at that time, which, as we concluded, would have been a critical mistake. Now, I'm looking at the fund balance in our HERF fund, and it's getting awfully low there. And I'm wondering if we're not setting ourselves up for some potential problems, not being able to maintain our pavement if we start looking at a drop in the amount of tax collected because of the gas sales.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I'll just address that briefly as best I can. You know, I think what you're seeing is the gas tax, again, it's based upon, as you mentioned, it's based upon miles driven, and that certainly could decline. That's something that we will certainly keep an eye on. I think, again, we're utilizing the best information that we have at this point in time, but this fund is going to be a difficult fund long run as we take even a longer term perspective and look at it, is going to be a difficult fund to maintain structural balance to. And that's why you see those transfers in, because we know that that road maintenance and, we don't anticipate having to build a lot of new roads, but existing roads certainly degradate. And we know that the cost of that road maintenance is not going to decline. That's typically those are oil-based products that are used to maintain roads. And as we're seeing, oil-based products anything that's oil-based right now is through the roof. So that is a concern of ours. It's certainly something that we'll monitor. I think this fund, we are projecting subsidies to the fund, transfers into that fund to keep it solvent over the five-year period. I think that's going to be kind of par for the course moving forward, even beyond that five-year period.
So, Mr. Kiesler, are you looking at different material like gold as opposed to oil-based pavement? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That was not a question. I do have one last question, and that has to do with the RTA. Now, the RTA, I'm sorry, David, does that expire in 24 or 25, the current, that probably is a Paul Kiesler.
26.
Okay, 2026. I'm assuming that none of these projections have looked at the possibility that the voters don't approve a renewal on that, or they're just assuming that there'll be a renewal?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, we don't. I don't know that that's necessarily factored in the forecast. I think basically we're assuming more of a status quo so that it is going to be renewed at this point. But again, that's not a guarantee. I think if it's not renewed, we would be looking at alternative fund sources such as PAG and whatever, what we've utilized in the past prior to the RTA being formed. So I think, and then we certainly will investigate all grant opportunities as well. So So we're going to do our best to try to manage that moving forward. But over the five-year period, I know that that may seem a little bit inconsistent to make that assumption, but that's the assumption that we've made.
Right. No, and that's fine. I understand. Just like some residents may not realize how much the RTA contributes to the operation of this town, not just in roads, but our transit program, which is basically 100% that. And if some worst-case scenario, the voters don't approve renewing that, not just us, but all other local agencies are going to have some very major impacts, and that's just something that we have to really watch on our radar. It's not smooth sailing. There may be a big storm in 2026, which we'll have to drastically adjust to. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Councilmember Bowen.
Dave, could we go back to slide 4, please?
Is it this one or the next
one?
One
more, please.
Okay, there we go.
Back
oh,
one
back.
More.
Gotcha.
Regarding sales tax revenue for fiscal year 22-23 tentative, is that actually lower than we're predicting for 21-22?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, it is. Again, we try to be, this really is a budget number, and we try to be very conservative in our budget, as you're well aware. So we are projecting a slight decline there, but that's, again, that's based upon the budget that council has seen and approved as tentative up to this point.
But is it correct that we projected $21 million in sales taxes this year and looks like we're going to collect 26. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, that is correct.
Could we move forward to slide 19, please?
Sorry, my slides are not numbered, so I'll do my best. Just stop me if I go too far.
One, back. Okay.
This one?
I apologize, Dave. I noticed these kinds of things because when I look at the community center fund taxes, it's actually going up, mm-hmm. You know, and that doesn't make sense, right? Those two are linked together, right? One's a fraction of the other.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, there are certain things included in the general fund. I kind of alluded to that in my presentation. There are certain tax components in the general fund that are not included in the community center fund, such as bed tax revenues and so forth. So, they are linked, but more linked on the retail component of our sales tax than some of the other components.
And could we go forward 3 slides, please? Regarding the orange bar uses of the community center fund, if I'm reading this correctly, maybe I'm not, for fiscal year 24-25 through fiscal year 27-28, we're projecting a use of around $9 million, the horizontal orange mm-hmm. bar. But this year, fiscal year 21-22, estimated, we only spent 6. And in the next 2 years, we have golf irrigation projects. What drives the $9 million of uses out in those out years from 24-25 to 27-28?
Give me a second. Councilmember Bowen, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, that's going to be our management contract revenues. Capital outlay is also driving that a little bit, but that's more, I'll say, hit or miss, depending on the year and what the needs are forecasted in the 10-year CIP that are included in the forecast.
Our management revenues, are those uses or sources? I'm asking about the uses, what
yeah,
we're spending
correct.
The money
our,
on.
Our contracted management expenditures, the expenditures that we pay our golf operator, so that would be a use.
Okay, so if I'm reading this correctly, even though the sales tax, the half-cent sales tax will be increasing over, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 years, we don't accumulate anything by this forecast. Is that correct? The black bar, which is the fund balance after 23, 24, it stays flat?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, we've attempted to have a structurally balanced forecast through the 5 year period, and so what you see there, and again, it's a forecast, so you know it certainly could be wrong, but we try to tend to take a more conservative approach to these things, but also be realistic. So we do anticipate that. That the forecast that's we're not going to be significantly building upon our ending fund balance over that forecast period. It's going to stay pretty stable but positive. Now that certainly we didn't anticipate. In fact, in the last presentation, you saw this year in the budget we had a budgeted planned use of fund balance, which was not the case. It was significantly over that. I think what you're seeing here again is. Is the impact of a number of different things kind of interplaying, just because this is a summary type graph and chart. As I mentioned again in the last presentation, we budgeted this current fiscal year in the community center fund both the principal and interest on our $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, but only the interest payment was due. That really was driving a lot of the increase that we're seeing in fund balance this current fiscal year, in addition to outperformance on our sales tax revenues and, you know, outperformance in our golf operating revenues, and then outperformance also in our town operating revenues. So really kind of a combination of a number of different items factoring in, and when you add all that together, it's like, okay, we're not going to utilize a planned use of fund balance. We've actually got this significant surplus in the fund that we've built up. So moving forward, we know that we're not going to have this situation with the debt service where we're, you know, budgeting or planning to budget or spend both the principal and interest and only paying the interest. Moving forward, we know that we're going to pay both the principal and interest. So that issue kind of resolves itself and goes away. And then there's, you know, the question then is, okay, what does sales taxes look like moving forward? We try to be very conservative there. What do golf operating revenues look like moving forward? We try to factor in the course closures with the irrigation project, and then kind of more of a normal but very conservative growth pattern there, because those are what I would consider discretionary revenues, and those would be subject highly subject to. To a potential recession. And then also similarly, the town operating revenues are the revenues we bring in for the pool and community center and so forth. Those types of revenues, again, discretionary, want to be very conservative, we don't anticipate that we're going to see the significant increase that we saw this year over last fiscal year where we had those impacts due to COVID. So we're utilizing this year as kind of that baseline to move forward in our forecast for revenues, but taking a very conservative approach, understanding that there could even be a slight decline in some of those revenue sources. We know that we're going to see some of that on the golf side. Do we see it on the park side or on the town operating side as well? We don't know. So we're going to play that by ear.
Regarding forecasting, we're doing a five-year forecast tonight. Do you remember when was the last time we did a five-year forecast?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, this is part of our financial policy, so we do this on an annual basis, and we update it annually. So this was presented last fiscal year as part of the tentative budget, that same meeting that we presented the tentative budget and approved it last fiscal year. And that's typically what we do. This year we kind of held off in presenting it due to some of the issues and negotiations that were going on with wages and the police MOU.
And seeing that we do this each year, do we have a practice of going back and looking at how good our forecasts are for fiscal years that have passed, for example, 2021, 1920, compare what actually happened? to our forecast to see if our forecasting method is serving us well.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, I think that goes back to my very early on comments in this presentation where I said, you know, there were certain things that we kind of knew about, but then they weren't finalized, and yet we, and then they became finalized this fiscal year. They were not included in last fiscal year's forecast. We certainly did not anticipate inflation to be at the levels that we've seen this fiscal year. So, as I went back in preparing this presentation, in reviewing our forecast for the next 5 years, comparing it to what we had forecast last year for the five-year period, we were way off in a number of areas, and especially on the revenue side. So, we're trying to be as honest or as close as we can. We certainly don't want to present inaccurate or incorrect information, but it's a forecast, and we know that there are things that happen through the year, and there are things that are going to happen next fiscal year that are going to be impactful. And so really the issue from my perspective for council to consider is, okay, so we've got a forecast and it's pretty much balanced. How does that impact the decisions we make moving forward? How does that impact, especially significant decisions that would impact future years' budgets? How does it impact the decision with the Oro Valley Marketplace? How does that impact, whatever else comes down the road, whether there's a recession or there's something geopolitical that hits or whatever that we've got to adjust and adapt to, this should be hopefully a useful tool for you all to kind of work through those decisions, work through those associated impacts and say, okay, if we need a new police station, where's that revenue source going to come from and so forth? Because those are the types of things, again, looking at the major, kind of those major decision points of what could happen, what's going to happen that that is impactful for the community.
And Dave, I agree with you and your hardworking staff. Forecasts are always wrong, but forecasts are also something we can learn from. If we are forecasting for a long period of time, I hope that we can get better at it, because we've had our misses in the past, right? We're shooting at the bullseye and we see the spread of where we're hitting. I just wanted to make one brief comment. I think we have been very conservative regarding revenues, and I really appreciate that. I think that's good practice for the town. But with respect to the Community Center Fund, we are not, in my opinion, being conservative regarding expenses at all. I can't understand why we have $9 million going out into the indefinite future, but that's just a comment. So thank you for your work. Really appreciate what you guys put together.
Thank you, Councilmember Bowen.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yeah, I think Councilmember Bowen brings up a good point about that, because our golf operating expenses from this year are $4.5 million. And then even if you look at the bond payment and the community center revenues, the community center costs were still only at $6.9 million. So it is kind of hard to see how we get an extra $2 to $3 million in uses. And if there were a downturn that affected play, that would affect our sources, but it wouldn't affect our uses. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think that that is a good point, and that looking forward, we might want to see where that extra $2 to $3 million is coming from.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, and I agree. We'll take a look at that and prepare a council report and provide more information for you in the near future.
Thank you,
Councilmember Nicholson.
Mine's to piggyback on Steve. So first of all, Steve, good points on the gas tax revenue as far as being per gallons and not percentage wise. So a lot of car companies are talking about going to all electric by 2025, 2030. Obviously, our state should be aware of that. Is the state making any plans to change the revenue source for our roads? And
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, I'm not aware of any state plans to change that formula. Plans that are, I'm not aware, doesn't mean that there aren't. It just means that I'm not aware of those. Those are, if there are plans to do that, they're certainly not reflected in the forecast.
And The second part was more towards Tim as far as forecasting. What do we use for resource? Like, obviously, the town couldn't have forecast last year Russia invading Ukraine, right? So, and nobody probably did. But do we use, like, a national forecasting structure? Do we use the state? Do we use U of A? Do we talk to other towns and cities or all of the above?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, really all of the above. We look at the national environment, the economic climate that we're in. We do look at the state environment and utilize state resources for that. And then we look at, you know, really driving down into Pima County utilizing the Arizona Eller College for that information, and then even, again, professional judgment of staff, specific to the town and talking with our internal directors and whatever that have really the primary information, the boots on the ground and so forth, and what they're hearing and seeing, and really trying to take all of that and come to some sort of agreement or alignment with that information.
So is there a national resource that most cities and towns use or no?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, I don't know that there is a national resource per se. I think, I know we have a national League of Cities and Towns that kind of stays abreast of issues and also legislation and policy. So, I'm not aware of, I think it's a number of different sources nationally that I'm looking at and that my staff are looking at and trying to gauge where things are heading from that perspective.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions from council? Mr. Gephardt, was there some information you were?
No, it's okay. Thank you, Mayor.
I can't put my finger on it where I read. It wasn't in the presentation, but it was basically some takeaways from this forecast. I'm not able to find it. What are your takeaways from this forecast that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I think that's a really good question. It's a lot of information, it's a lot of data, so it's like, okay, so what's the impact or where does that leave us? I think from my standpoint, things are stable here at the town financially. We're projecting stability over the five-year forecast period through the funds that have been presented here this evening. But I think there's some challenges moving forward as well, both longer term, beyond the five-year forecast period, but even in that five-year forecast period, I think we've got some areas where we've got some cushion to be able to navigate some of those challenges, but it really depends on how deep those challenges go and what type of impact they have on the town holistically in terms of its financial picture moving forward. The town, over the next couple years, this is both a good thing and kind of a risk area. The town is undertaking some large capital projects, and the golf irrigation project being one. Certainly Naranja Park, the multi-use paths being another. Where we are going to be drawing down our reserves. Some of those reserves we have to draw down because they're either ARPA or they're ARPA reserves, and we've got to spend them, or they're related to the Parks and Rec bond issuance. Again, we've got kind of a shot clock there where we have to spend those monies, or the bulk of them, certainly. A lot of this is really kind of expected and natural. But with that said, once they're spent and once they're drawn down, we're not going to have the opportunity to spend them again. And so really from my standpoint, it's really looking at those years, and I know these are the harder years to forecast, but the out years in the forecast, 26, 27, 28, looking at those years, once those bond proceeds, once the grant resources have been spent, where are we expected to be in those years? And And certainly these forecasts will be updated in future years, next year and the year after. So we're going to be tightening this up as we move along and gain more information about what's happening, again, nationally and even locally from an economic standpoint. But I think right now I'm comfortable and confident that the town's in a very solid financial position. And then, you know, if we see things, again, kind of start to degrade or change moving forward in a negative fashion, we're going to be prepared to deal with that and address it in a very proactive manner.
So when you mentioned the investments in golf, Naranja, multi-use paths, are those characterized in that 5-year? Are those?
Yes,
and
Mr.
the challenges Mayor. Are just making sure we get those right?
You know, I think, Mr. Mayor, members of council, it's not necessarily the challenges of making sure we get them right. I think more the challenges making sure that we don't bite off more than we can chew. Because once we build those, again, they're going to have an impact in terms of maintenance and upkeep and that sort of thing. So, you know, and we're going to see that again with the acquisition of Vistoso Trails path or the Vistoso Trail Nature. I'm going to botch it. Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve. Thank you. So, you know, I think these projects, you know, they cost something on the front end to construct and build, and they're wonderful, and they're fantastic amenities for the community, and they really do improve the quality of life in our community. So from that standpoint, it's great, but we've got to be mindful of the ongoing cost of them as well, and make sure that we are set up moving forward, that we can continue to keep these amenities at the pristine condition that they deserve to be maintained at.
In the long term, what would be your short list for long-term challenges?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I think the long-term challenges are certainly the police facility, where we find the funding source for that. Because looking at the 5-year forecast period, there's not really an identified funding source. So I think we're going to need my opinion, council needs to be aware of that. And if that certainly is a priority, and I think we would all agree that it is, then we need to look at, okay, what is the funding source that's going to be most effective in allowing us to undertake that project and really get that moving.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. Any final questions? Okay, we again appreciate your presentation.
I think
in deference to Mr. Gephardt, seeing that you're next on the agenda here, maybe we'll take a 10-minute break, and so we'll reconvene at approximately 8 o'clock. Thank you. Well, welcome back. We'll re-adjourn the regular session to adjourn the regular session and to go into special session. So I'd like to ask Mr. Standish to read item 1 of our special session.
Public hearing, resolution number R22-28, approving the adoption of the final budget of the Town of Oro Valley for fiscal year 2022-23, including approval of the 10-year capital improvement program from fiscal year 2022-23 through fiscal year 2031-32.
So our Chief Financial Officer, Dave Gephardt, will present this item. Dave?
Good evening once again, Mr. Mayor, members of council, as if you haven't had enough of me already this evening. I'm here to present our adopted budget presentation for this evening, just a short presentation for you to kind of refresh where we are and hopefully get your approval to move forward in the budget process. So the budget before you this evening remains virtually unchanged from the tentative budget approved just 2 weeks ago. It sets the expenditure limitation of the town at $147.7 million. The one change that we have integrated between this budget and the tentative budget, which does not impact expenditures, is a transfer from the Community Center Fund to the Capital Fund for the Gulf Irrigation Project expenditures. Per council direction, this draws the Community Center Fund down to $1 million. The budget includes approval of the 10-year capital improvement program, with year one of that plan included in the proposed adopted budget for next year. Finally, council has the authority to amend the budget throughout next fiscal year if necessary. So as mentioned, the overall budget expenditure limit is proposed to be $147.7 million. After approval of the budget, next steps include publishing the budget as required by the State Auditor General's Office, as well as submitting the budget to GFOA for consideration of the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. Finally, the budget reflects the careful and strategic allocation of resources to maintain service levels and accomplish strategic objectives. With that, myself and staff are available for questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council.
Okay, there's a public hearing associated with this special session agenda item. So I'll open the public hearing at this time. I have no blue cards. And so I'll close the public hearing and open it to council questions. Councilmember Solomon.
Thanks very much. I do have a question, actually. You had mentioned that I want to make sure I'm 100% clear on this, that the council could amend the budget. Now, does that, when you say that, are we allowed to amend it if we need to go over the $147 million limit? Or can we only amend the allocation that is occurring within the budget?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I believe council has the ability to exceed
thing that you can allocate above the $147 million is federal grants. So those can take you above. If there was an unanticipated federal grant, we could amend the budget and increase your budget cap.
You know, my concern is the employee and staff compensation. We've seen inflation at unprecedented levels. We're already getting feedback that other police departments are now matching the recent increase that we had or exceeding it. And I say there's a pretty good likelihood that not just for police, but for our other qualified staff members, we're going to find several months from now, or 6 months from now, that we're going to be losing in a very competitive salary market. You know, people, there's just an enormous amount of demand for qualified people everywhere from, you know, general labor all the way up to our department directors, same as in our police staff, our dispatchers, our records keepers, and all. So what gets me really concerned with this budget is I think we've been playing catch-up, and I know we're still evaluating some positions, so what are we going to do when we find out that we need to put another million or $2 million into the budget to increase salaries to the point we're not losing people, let alone not hiring people?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Solomon, we did increase the amount of funding available for staff increases for both salary adjustments and also classification and compensation adjustments, and we believe that that is reasonable. But we do have a $5 million contingency in general administration. And if we find during the course of the year exactly what it is that you are expressing, I will bring you a budget amendment and make some recommendations at that time.
Okay, so we do have the capacity because of the $5 million reserve contingency. Okay.
That is correct, sir.
Okay, now that's a percentage-wise, a fairly small contingency. I wanted just to point that out. Out of $147 million, $5 million. So, you know, if gas prices keep going up and other things do, that $5 million can go away pretty quickly. So I just want to caution everyone, this is one of my major concerns here with this, you know, inflation rate and potential, once again, even for recession. I mean, this is a potential stagflation situation that we haven't seen since the Jimmy Carter years. I want to make sure that, you know, we're not putting ourselves up against the wall where we find we're not going to be able to take care of our personnel and increase expenses.
Councilmember Green.
Manager Jacobs answered the first part of my question. The second is, of course, we can reprioritize at any point as long as we don't go over the cap. So I appreciate your concern, but I'm a little more sanguine with it right now.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, if I could just jump in. So if you look at the general fund, as you'll recall, there's a pretty significant transfer where we are well above our 25% policy limit for our reserves. And so that transfer is proposed in the budget document before you this evening to be moved to the capital fund per our financial policies. As I mentioned during the tentative budget presentation, just because that transfer is budgeted does not mean that it needs to be made. And so we do have capacity in the budget via the transfer as well to reduce the amount available there and to keep our general fund in a very healthy and stable position as well. So I just wanted to make that comment in addition to Town Manager Jacobs' comment regarding contingency, which is absolutely correct as well. Contingency is obviously from a governmental standpoint always, you know, that's why we have contingency, that's why we budget for it, is for those unanticipated increases in costs that could not, or projects that could not be anticipated when the budget was adopted or passed. And that allows us a little bit of flexibility. But again, those reallocations out of contingency need to go before council per our financial policies as well for approval.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. So when will the transfer of fund balance into the capital fund be made? If you say that we could potentially not make the transfer if we needed to keep the fund balance healthy, when is that plan to be made?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council, that transfer at the earliest would be made after our audit is complete. Again, once we kind of figure out where we land from an ending fund balance perspective in the general fund, then that kind of dictates to us. We can see what our expenditures landed at, what that 25% policy reserve is finally calculated at, and then make that transfer calculation and enact it. However, with that said, just because we could make it at that point doesn't mean that we will. Certainly we could, and then we could also transfer money back. I mean, there's a whole myriad of options throughout the year that we can adjust and adapt depending on what conditions are telling us.
So what time of year are we expecting the audit to be completed approximately?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council, the auditors come in late September. For a week, we start drafting financial statements pretty much immediately thereafter. We typically have a draft to our auditors by the first part of November. So I would say realistically, probably in November.
So that transfer is budgeted and is part of the budget, but not all of that money is planned to be spent. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council, just because when you say spent, I'm assuming you mean out of the capital fund. So just because it's transferred into the capital fund doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be spent this next fiscal year. I think if you go back to the five-year forecast, you see that there's a drawdown over the next several fiscal years as we complete projects.
Okay, thank you. So, I mean, I think that's reassuring that those fund balances will be robust, both in the general fund and in the capital fund, as well as the contingency. Can you just address a little bit, I know you've already addressed it some tonight, but there are some concerns about possible recession or inflation, et cetera. Can you just explain how you go about taking a look at revenues as they come in, making sure the revenues are coming in before you go ahead with budgeted expenses, et cetera, to make sure that the fund, the budget remains structurally balanced throughout the whole year?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council. So again, we do present a monthly financial report to council and to our BFC. And it's at that point that and it's even prior to that, obviously, there's a lot of work that goes in to preparing these monthly financial reports. So We do get pretty much almost real-time data from Arizona Department of Revenue. We're able to really monitor that. That's part of our senior budget analyst job is to really keep an eye on those revenue streams and sources, make sure that they're performing with our expectations. And so if we do, again, start to see some declines, again, it would have to be really pretty significant. And, you know, that would, you know, give us kind of a warning that, yeah, things are not really going to end up where we, you know, perhaps expected them to end up at the end of the fiscal year, and we would make those adjustments, as quickly as possible so that we could adapt and make sure that we ended the fiscal year in a healthy position.
Right. Thank you. I think it's just important for the community to understand that you and your team and the town staff is keeping an eye on that as it's coming in, and that the town can be flexible to respond to conditions as we move forward. So I think that's a value. Thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Yes. So the Great Recession was back in December 2007. So I know we developed a plan for the next fiscal year. So do we know what contingency we had? Like, we have $5 million this year, but in the 08 to 09, do we know how much contingency we had in the budget back then?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, I don't offhand. That's something I certainly have access to and could research and provide a council report on.
Maybe Paul or anyone, do you guys remember if we did have a contingency at all? Okay.
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Nicholson, previously the town actually budgeted all of its fund balances as part of the total town budget. So those fund balances were always available as the maximum budget. We changed to more best practices after I took the reins as town manager, which is to include contingency dollars so as to not overinflate the budget when we really never, ever use a 25% fund balance. It was always included in the budget. The town has never dipped below its 25% fund balance in the general fund since that policy has gone into place many years ago.
Okay, and so the last three years, how much of a contingency did we have in our budget?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, we had about $5 million in contingency, and we never touched a penny of it for the last 2 years.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions from council for Mr. Gephardt? Entertain a motion.
I would like to make a motion. I would move to approve resolution number R22-28, adopting the final budget of the town of Oro Valley for fiscal year 22-23. And I further move to approve the town of Oro Valley's 10-year capital improvement program for fiscal year 22-23 through fiscal year 2031-32.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon?
Yeah, I do have some concerns on this budget and some spending items, and the fact that I think we're overspending at a point in time when everything is pointing towards a potential downfall. But on the other hand, you have to remember this budget includes everything that the town needs to operate, to pay our staff, to fix our roads, to procure our police vehicles, et cetera. So voting against the budget is effectively shutting the town down, and I don't think that's really ever a viable option unless there's something incredibly egregious in the budget. So I'm going to vote for the budget for those reasons. As I said, I still have some concerns, and I think we'll have to be very careful and limber in the next few months, in particular, to see what direction the economy is going in and whether we need to adjust our spending.
Any more discussion? I'd like to thank Mr. Gephardt and Ms. Jacobs and the entire executive team and staff for all the work that has gone in into preparing this budget, and also council's involvement through various study sessions and other meetings. And I certainly support this budget, and again, want to recognize the tremendous effort that's gone into preparing it, and I have great confidence in our staff in executing it, so thank you.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0.
Mr. Well, Mayor?
Yes.
May I just briefly echo your thanks to the team. This is an incredible amount of work. All of the financial policies, the forecast, the budget. Mr. Gephardt was the one in front of the camera today as he presented everything. But there is a whole team, and one of them is sitting right here on the front row, Chris Hutchinson, our senior budget analyst, and the rest of our budget team, Wendy Gomez, Chris Cornelison, and Chuck Boyer. And I just want to thank them especially, but also our department directors who work very, very hard to ensure that that we spend your dollars wisely and that we produce for you and for the community. So again, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity. We look forward to another great year.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. We'll adjourn the special session and reconvene the regular session. The next item on our regular session is the consent agenda. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. We'll go to item one of the regular agenda, Mr. Standish.
Discussion and possible action regarding the repayment of the 2015 Community Center loan from the general fund.
This item was requested by Councilmember Solomon and Councilmember Bowen. I'll turn the floor over to Councilmember Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the Community Center was purchased in 2014, the council at that time made a motion to transfer $1.2 million from the general fund contingency reserves to the new community center and golf fund and to repay the loan to the general fund contingency reserve over 10 years. And there's been some question, particularly from a former council member, Mike Zinkin, who was on council at the time, as to whether has the town met its obligation in paying back that loan. And I know staff is going to give us some background on this. I thought this would be an issue that would be worth council discussing and taking out any necessary council action on to just put this matter to rest. And I'll do point out one thing in the beginning is that it never said to pay it off in 10 equal payments. It simply said to pay it back over 10 years, which would have been, I believe, what, the year 2024 or 2025? I'd have to look at the details because it spanned to 2 years.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, I know we've provided you with some communications on this matter in the past. Yes, it is the council member Solomon is correct. There was an action by the council at that time to basically agree to repay as an interfund loan the $1.2 million that was used to originally purchase the community center and all of the amenities. Over the course of the past several years, the town has repaid the general fund back a total of $480,000. With an outstanding balance of the official transfer of $720,000. Last year, during discussions of council and action by council, the town council voted to broaden the use of the community center fund to apply to all parks and recreation programs and all parks and recreation activities altogether. That was duly voted by the town council, and then further direction was given to identify the maximum amount of bond that could reasonably be paid for and supported out of the community center fund for future parks and recreation projects. So as our staff looked at the projections And also in evaluating that $120,000, it would provide an additional capacity in the form of the debt repayment if it was added to the available money basically for the mortgage payment for the bond. And so we did present that to council. That was very clearly identified in our council communications when we recommended the $25 million bond to the council. And so this matter was reviewed by legal, and of course, as you know, any current sitting town council is not bound by any prior decisions of a previous council, although certainly some are easier to get out of than others. But this council then made that decision to move forward with the recommendation of staff. Bottom line is there is no legal requirement for the council to take any further action in order to satisfy the vote in March of 2015. However, if there is interest on the part of the council to put this item to bed, as Councilmember Solomon mentioned, perhaps tonight would be the perfect opportunity for council to vote on some sort of a motion to declare that the remaining loan balance from the town council's March 2015 action to borrow the $1.2 million from the general fund to declare it satisfied. So if that closes the door, I think that would be appropriate. I'll also remind council we just transferred another $2 million to the capital fund with your vote this evening. And we also included in the next fiscal year $625,000 for the new Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, which is also technically a general fund, not a community fund project. And so clearly it's being satisfied, but if that helps you close the loop, certainly staff has no objection to that. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, may I make a motion?
Sure, Councilmember Solomon.
All right. Considering the fact that the community center fund has been expanded to cover many different park and recreation and other expenses, certainly not limited any longer to the community center and golf, and that effectively we are spending the community center and golf funds in lieu of general funds for those projects, it would seem to me that we have indeed satisfied that loan obligation. So I would move that council declares the $1.2 million transfer made in 2015 from the general fund to the community center and golf fund as satisfied and paid in full.
Second.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Solomon, seconded by Councilmember Green. Discussion? Councilmember Bowen.
Every fund balance has a story. And to me, the fund balance story for the Community Center Fund, it's an accumulation of several things. Number one, it's a seed loan that was made in 2015 that was never paid back. There are also things like not an interest payment, but a principal payment that was never made to the Parks and Recreation Loan Fund. And a third element of this surplus to me is simply over-allocated sales tax. So in no way has this fund really earned the money that it has, but it has taken from the general fund a remaining balance of $720,000. And I believe that that's where the money really belongs. Let's all remember that the Parks and Recreation Loan is not guaranteed by the Community Center Fund. It's guaranteed by the general fund. So I would not be in favor of this motion because I think the loan can easily be repaid, and it still should be repaid. We should remember that at the end of this fiscal year, we're going to have a balance of approximately $5.9 million in the Community Center Fund. I think that's a fund that can pay back a $720,000 loan. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett.
I just have a question about what it means when we say, Councilmember Solomon, you said satisfied and paid in full. Are you referring to the transfers that have been made satisfy that $1.2 million, or is it the fact that the community center fund has been reallocated to all Parks and Rec, which then qualify it as satisfied and paid in full? I mean, there's a couple different ways of looking at it, and I'm just curious when I vote.
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. Certainly the fact that the community center fund has been reallocated, the vast majority of the fund has been reallocated, that to the general fund and other funds means that how can you hold the obligation of the community center to pay back the loan they had received from the general fund?
Okay. That's okay.
All right.
Call the question.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay?
Nay.
The ayes have it, 6-1. Any future agenda items? Councilmember Bowen?
I move that we combine the 7 one-on-one general briefings that are given to the individual council members between council meetings to a single briefing given to us at the council meeting with the interest of saving time for the town manager and for the council members.
I'm not hearing a second. Other future agenda items? Councilmember Bowen?
Per our management contract with Indigo Golf, I move that we have an audit to explain the 6,212 rounds of golf that were played in May of 2022. This is something we're allowed to do by our management contract.
I'm not hearing a second. Any other future agenda items? I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivey. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you, staff.